This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Taking your Warrior calls as we head toward Dubs and Portland. I've said this to you before. I don't know if it's the echo chamber in which we live, social media, whatever it is. It gets hard to sift through. There's no doubt about it. I have no interest in coming down the road of the Warrior fan base. You are us. We are you. That's who we all are. And we ride the wave and the ups and downs of wins and losses and all of that stuff. I have a hard time getting to the space where some people seem to arrive, which is to look at Warrior basketball as a whole and somehow either feel like a poor job is being done, or what I hear even more is that people don't trust it. I don't know why there hasn't been more trust built to a degree between some of the characters involved and then those who watch Warrior basketball.
It's Steve Kerr. It's not even some of the characters, right?
That's character one.
Like fans and Steve Kerr.
I mean, Draymond has the ups and downs because of the whatever of the whole thing. And Kuminga. It's not like everybody is yelling about, they're holding JK down. Every time we get that text, we get another one who's like, JK's a bum and he's a bust, right? And they need to get rid of him.
And maybe the poll, and this is not a poll that we would want to spend 4 hours on, but you could do a poll that is as simple as, is Jonathan Kuminga good at basketball? And it might run about 50-50. And I know I oversimplified it, but the bigger picture is Jonathan Kuminga on this Warrior team, should he play more? Is he playing enough? Is he any good? Because that right there would light up the phones. And you're right. Like back-to-back texts, one person saying, come on, Dibs, shut up. Stop trolling. He's amazing. And the next person, Dibs, thank you. Am I right? He's not very good. I think that Jonathan Kuminga is a very good basketball player. But I also think that with this team and the way that they play, and here we are, game 81 coming up in about 2 hours' time, the way Jonathan Kuminga is playing right now normally is not a great fit for what they're trying to do and what they need.
Understood, but I do think that this conversation goes much bigger than just Jonathan Kuminga.
Right.
And I'm thankful for that because, again, I'm with GPD. I really think that and Steph Curry, by the way, who said this out loud last week. We got to stop after every Warrior basketball with Kuminga this, Kuminga that. Because there are plenty of people out there also who are like, the Warriors' development system stinks and Steve Kerr doesn't play young players. And we can sit here with examples that totally disprove all of it. All of it. But it's still very, very much out there. And so there is something that has happened. And the word I keep using today is the packaging. There's something in the packaging. It might just be that the bar has been set so damn high. But earlier in the show, I took you back to February, right? Just go back to Jimmy Butler in street clothes watching a Laker game as a member of the Warriors who hadn't played yet. You lost the game, you fell to 25-26. Then he started playing basketball, and you've been amazing. You're 22-7. Well, what if we go back even a few more months? A few more months back takes us to a time where the frustration level was so high because it was either A, this stupid organization won't get Steph Curry any help, or it was, this is kind of silly. The guy's 36. What do you honestly think he's going to be able to do? That's where we were. And so that's just my mind today, and maybe it's campy and milk and cookies for you or whatever, but that's where my mind is today. We've arrived at the end of the regular season, and I'm pretty fired up for where we sit because this is everything that so many people said was either A, not possible, or B, man, the dream. Like if we could just get, if we could get these guys like another crack at it. Well, got a crack at it.
You should, yeah.
Here we go.
Yep.
We got a crack at it. So this is pretty awesome. I want Mike Dunleavy's name in there, too.
Yeah, put his name in there.
Like, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome job.
He's been great. He's been great with not only the Jimmy Butler trade at the deadline, but go back to the D'Anthony Melton that turned into Dennis Schroeder, which was a part of the Jimmy Butler, and everything else they did in the offseason to bring in slow-mo, and you found Lindy Waters, and you drafted Quentin Post, and TJD and Pods, and all the rest of it. We can run down the whole list. He's been awesome at trying to find a way to make this roster still work, and you did all these things, and now you got Jimmy Butler, who has led this team along with Steph and Draymond to a 22-7 record. And I'm looking at the standings on that day. You mentioned you lost to the Lakers, Jimmy in streets, and you were 25-26, tied with Sacramento, tied in the loss column with San Antonio. So you were the 10 seed. You were 10,
That's
tied
crazy.
With the Kings, and you were a game and a half ahead of San Antonio, who was the 12, and you were 2.5 ahead of tonight's opponent, who was the 13. So from then, yeah, you went 22-7, amazing, and you rose as high as 5, I think, for a time, and then now you're sitting at 6 or 7, and if you win, you can still get the 6 and all the rest of it, but it took that 22-7 just to get back where you probably will have a swing at a series.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Well, I mean, yes. Again, my line yesterday, they've brought the nightmare into the room.
Right.
And it's still here. Like, and it won't leave tonight either. In fact, it could grow much, much bigger if something were to go wrong in Portland tonight. But there is sort of that, like, parlay effect in your mind, which sometimes happens. So I don't want to say it's not possible. But, like, if the Warriors, if something wasn't to go well this weekend, and you ended up in, say, the 7 seed, and then something wasn't to go well on Tuesday, yeah, a week from tonight could be a terrifying night. That's what I will leave with today on our show. I do not want a basketball game for the Warriors a week from tonight. If there is, the nightmare has become reality. But a lot of weird stuff would have to happen, I think, in order to get there. Tonight, I think the two biggest things are win your game in Portland and root for the Denver Nuggets to beat the Memphis Grizzlies. And if they're able to do that, then the Warriors remove the 8 seed from possibility, at least at the start. I know you could still end up the 8 out of the play-in tournament,
right.
But you would clinch at least the 7 and an opportunity for a home game on Tuesday night in order to go to the playoffs. So, look, you know, there are a lot of other scenarios as far as what will play out this weekend with them locking up a top 6 seed. And I don't know. I do have mixed feelings about that seed and that idea because it very much looks like if the Warriors do lock down the 6 seed, they'll be on their way to L.A. next weekend, which is A, hard matchup, and then B, what I've said is it's too much too soon. I just don't want that glitzy of a matchup in the first round.
I get that, but, I mean, you may not have the opportunity to, you know, kind of tweak it to have it go your way. After tonight, there will be a better sense of what might be able to be jerry-rigged. The Grizzlies at Denver, which, you know, the Grizzlies could be in a spot where they lose, and if Minnesota loses and you win, maybe the Clippers lose, and now you're playing for the 5, on Sunday against LA, and maybe maybe you go out and you want to get the 5 to make sure you get Denver, or maybe you want to bow out and make sure you get the 6. I mean, there's a lot of things that can still happen with 3 through 8 in the Western Conference. I think 3 is out of your reach, but the Lakers can still fall out of 3.
Yes.
They could wind up as the 4, and then maybe you want to be the 6 because then you don't have to play them.
Yeah, I mean, all of these things can happen. But, you know, those the 3 games that I think you're going to spend most of your time on tonight, obviously, is the Warrior game in Portland. And
Grizzlies Nuggets.
Yep. And then the Clippers. The Clippers in Sacramento. To me, that's an interesting game. The Kings are a bananas weird team. And I don't think they're very good, but they do have the ability to come out, get hot, and just run by you on a given night. They do have that ability, and it's a home game. So we'll see. You know, they put a little bit of a scare into the Nuggets the other night up there in Sac, and so they've got the Clippers tonight. That would be a nice, hey, how you doing, if they can get it.
And the Kings are still playing for home court in the 9-10 game,
yep.
So they have something to play for, which is kind of nice to see. And you know, Dallas, the same thing. They'd love to get to 9, and that way they could host the 9-10 game. So most of the games involve teams that are actually trying. Minnesota against Brooklyn, favored by 21.5 at home. I mean, 21.5, Mark, in an NBA game.
It's a lot.
It feels like way too much, but Brooklyn is absolutely stuck and playing no one. So, I mean, maybe Minnesota covers that one.
By the way, do you know how awesome the Western Conference is compared to the Eastern Conference right now?
It's not even close.
Quick aside, and I don't mean that just in terms of like how much better the teams are. I also mean how much more entertaining it is. Like right now, like I don't know if you've noticed this, but the Celtics and Cavs are the only two teams anybody really, really cares about in the Eastern Conference. They have been on cruise control for a month and a half.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. Look at them. The Celtics are losing at home right now to the Hornets. The Cavaliers are in New York with no Karl Anthony Towns and just gave up a 40-point first quarter, and they're down by 15. They do not care. They do not care what the hell's going on. Meantime, we get this. Western Conference going to tip off here in the 7 o'clock hour, and there is just like, it's going to be AM, PM. Too much good stuff.
Nice. Too much good stuff.
Thank you.
And, you know, across the board, and seeds are flying everywhere, and you're right. Even, like, New York, they're the 3 seed, and they're not really playing with much urgency. And
no chance.
They could fall to 4, but you're still going to host a first-round series. And Milwaukee or Detroit, I guess I'd rather play Detroit, an inexperienced team, as opposed to Milwaukee. But New York's not playing like a team that really cares about its seed. And meanwhile, Miami, which couldn't wait to get rid of Jimmy Butler, didn't have him play for more than a month, and yet 36-44, you've locked up the 10 seed. You're going to the play-in, Miami, even though you have a winning percentage of 450.
Yeah. The Eastern Conference is interesting. It's interesting right now. All right, 888-957-9570, weigh in on anything Warriors-related. Where is your confidence as they head into this very, very decisive weekend? Steve Kerr with us yesterday. Let's hear a little bit more of what he had to say. And he definitely, this was a message throughout. He still feels very good about where they sit.
I would argue we're in a great spot, 22-7 since we got Jimmy. You know, if we made that trade, when we made that trade, can you imagine sitting here going, oh, yeah, and by the way, you're going to go 22-7. You're going to have top 5 offense, top 5 defense, and this is where you'll be with 2 games left in the season. You don't think we would have jumped at that?
Yep.
So the entire narrative has shifted. The entire vibe has shifted since Jimmy's arrival. So you can't let, you know, one loss or a couple losses dampen that, when you just have to recognize the West is loaded. There's a bunch of great teams. There's a bunch of great organizations who have put together, you know, really good programs. And this is competition at its highest level, and we are in the mix. And I can't wait for tomorrow night and then Sunday and then whatever comes after that.
Okay, and obviously he's referring to tonight against the Portland Blazers. And that conversation was, for me, the start of kind of arriving at this point, which is just to remember where we were. Remember where we've been this season, and as we arrive at this weekend, I don't know, man. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive turnaround.
Very much so. And, you know, we all were talking about them making a big swing at the deadline, and we spent a lot of time talking about it. And, you know, nobody, yourself, myself included, really wanted Jimmy Butler, all eyes on KD. And we had a very brief flirtation with an idea of LeBron and how nonsensical that seemed. And Zach LaVine, no thank you. You and Grandy did a show when I was off about Cam Johnson.
We did a whole show about that, man.
It was a 4-hour crush on Cam Johnson, and I heard it. I can't remember where I was or where I was going, but I was listening to it going, yeah, you know, this is good. It's compelling. I'm into the show. Cam Johnson, I'd love him. I like the player. We all did a Vucevic. We did a Vucevic and LaVine. We did a Cam Johnson. Yep. And the other Cam that the Nets have. And
Cam Thomas, but nobody wanted it.
Whatever, but we all did it. We did it all. We went around the association. Yep. There was a little bit of Paul George in there. Help me if I'm forgetting any of the other targets that we all wanted.
Go back to the offseason if you want. How many weeks did we do on Lowry Markkanen?
It was a full weekend.
Yeah.
It's a Friday. I'll give you a 3.
Okay, I'll take it. I mean, what we're doing is we're waiting for some sort of a grading. I thought that the timing of it and the fluidity.
Oh my God.
I thought a 3, like Monday through Thursday 3. I thought it was a Friday 4. I'm not begging.
I'm going to give you a Friday giggle. I'm not going to give you any numbers.
It's after 5, so you're going to laugh. Give him a laugh. You're the funny guy.
I'm just thrilled that I can laugh again.
Yeah.
Like, you still hear the smoker's cough.
A little bit of the wheeze.
Yeah, but no, but it's okay.
And you're doing better. Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing so much better.
No, and I thought you gave it to me because I woke up yesterday. Though. No, you didn't. But I woke up and I had a little bit of what you had, and I'm like, this mother jumper.
Exactly.
I thought.
Because I fight through it.
You do, but you fight through it, you bring it to work.
I know, and that's like a thing now. I don't know what to do because, like, COVID made it this thing where it's like if you got like a little thingy coming out of your nose, like don't go anywhere near anyone. And I'm like, but I'm built that way. Like right.
I can honestly say
I'm kind of built for this. Like we've got a show to do.
Yeah.
I walked out the door yesterday. It was yesterday. And my daughter goes, Dad, like I can see it in your face. She's like, why don't you ever take a day for you? I go, because that's not what we're doing here.
No, 2032, honey.
Yeah. Like
when Jude graduates high school I might have got the year right. Actually, 2034 even. He's a fifth grader. So
what is it, when you turn 18?
Just when he graduates.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah.
32.
So, yeah, you're going to get a day in about 8 years.
Maybe.
I get one in about 16 years.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. No, I'm like.
That day is going to involve a pine box.
I know. I've been trying to teach you guys for 16 years, like. Fight when it's not perfect. Like, go for it.
You got to go out there and be tough.
You got to go out there and be tough.
Thank you.
And by the way,
kind of going off the rails. I get it, but it's a Friday.
Yeah, who cares? Whatever.
Right. Yeah. Warriors.
Thank you. Like Steve was on the show. By the way,
I'm tired of getting pushed around.
This might be part of my take today with Steve Kerr. It was during Steve. You ever do this when you get sick, where you can point to the exact moment where you're like, "Ooh, I'm coming down with something."
Yes.
And then on the back end, where it just something goes through you and you're like, ooh, I'm better.
I'm back.
It happened in the middle of the interview yesterday.
That's wild.
Because like we have these things called cough buttons and we could turn our mics off.
Yep.
And Dibs knows this. Like during that whole, like for a day and a half, like if you're talking, I'm turning this thing off so I can and then something happened during Steve and I'm like, ooh, my eyes just opened.
Yep.
We're good.
I feel better.
You got to go out there and be tough.
Exactly. I called lovely Christy on the way home because I was up half the night before coughing. I called her on the way home. I go, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good. I'm going home to make tacos. You want to come over? Because we're good here. So anyway, that's part of why I was like, you know what? Enough of all this. Oh, God, they lost to the Spurs. Screw this. We're good here. This is what we asked for.
We were waiting for this.
We begged for this. They targeted this. We're here. We want the 6. You've got 2 basketball games to get it. Go do it. Nice job, Warriors.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet to nice job, Warriors, because it should be nice job, Warriors, and it will be nice job, Warriors, once they get the 6. But you got to go out and take on Portland, and you got to handle it. And after what you did against San Antonio, I'm not just going to chalk this in the win column and say, well, it all comes down to Sunday.
Of course not. Of course not. Yes, you have to go do it. Of course. But again, you have to spend a little time feeling good right now, don't you?
I'm getting there, yes, but I'm going to take the time to feel good when we get to the point where I can feel good, and we're not there yet. You know, it's like when I ran the Napa Valley Marathon, Mark. I had a goal when I was a younger person that I wanted to run a marathon, so I trained for a marathon, and as I started to get ready to run the marathon and the race started, I realized that the idea of running a sub 4 hour marathon was possible. To do that, you have to run a 9 minute mile pace. And so I set out to run an 8:40 pace. And so mile after mile, I'm clipping 8:40, 8:40, 8:40. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is awesome. And I got to the 22 mile mark, which the Warriors are deeper in the race than that. But I got to about 24 miles and I looked at my watch and the last mile I had run was about 10 minute pace.
Oh.
And I looked and I was like, oh, no.
You're slowing down, brother.
Not only am I slowing down, but I started to run not quite sideways, but a bit diagonal. And so now I'm looking at my watch every 100 or so yards, and I'm looking at my pacing, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is – I'm starting to lose it here.
This is not good, yeah.
And so instead of thinking about, I did it, at the 25-mile mark, I had to put my head down and finish. And that's where I feel at the Warriors right now.
No doubt.
You've done it. 22-7. You've done the work. You got Jimmy. You've been awesome. Now you got to just get through the last 0.2 miles of this marathon, finish it up, then we can have a Gatorade and talk about how great it is.
You have to define what it is. They have not clinched a playoff spot. But if we go back to Steve Kerr's comments about we just want to give Steph an at-bat, I know he means like a playoff series,
but in
theory, you can arrive at this weekend and say that at-bat has been provided. Like if you're Steph Curry, I guarantee you this is the way he looks at it. He said it the other night. We now, a good team is going to say, we got to go win those two games. Let's go find out if we're a good team. Like Steph, you wanted an at-bat? Here's your at-bat. It just happens to include a couple extra regular season games. You want your playoff spot? Go get it. And then you've got an at-bat.
Right.
So you have an at-bat in order to earn another at-bat. It's almost like you're shooting 1-1 like they do in college. You want another shot? Make first shot. Now you get another shot. So that's what this weekend is. So the organization has done their job. This is what
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
No, they have. They've provided Steph and the great players on this team. They have provided them the opportunity to go get this thing. They acquired the player. They figured out the offense. They went on their winning streaks. All of that stuff. So here we are. You wanted a shot. You got a shot. Go beat Portland for crying out loud. Right? I mean, I will start to waver a little bit if you go from we stumble against San Antonio, and now you stumble against the Blazers minus their top four players. Yeah. Now you got a problem.
Yeah,
for sure.
I don't think that you've gotten to the point where you can feel good about the regular season until you get a top six, and then maybe you get to a spot where you get to the play-in and you win, and now you're a playoff team. Then, at that point, I'll be able to step back and say, all right, good job, Warriors. You did what you needed to do. Maybe it's partly the PTSD of the play-in history for the Warriors, 0-3 lifetime in the play-in tournament. So I want to get a top six seed, and if they win tonight and then they beat the Clippers on Sunday and they're guaranteed a playoff spot, then, yeah, you and I can talk on Monday, and I will respond differently about how I feel.
888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Coke Machine in Lafayette. Well, hello, Coke Machine.
Gentlemen, how are you this afternoon?
We're great. What's going on?
What up, Machine?
Gibbs, I think it's interesting that your perspective on this is that the season isn't yet a win. And I think it's reflective of changing expectations, right? 2 months ago, we would have been thrilled to be here. So the organization has delivered an entertaining product over the last couple of months. They've been great. It fulfilled kind of everything I would hope they would do. And now we get to sit back and see what happens. It's going to be great.
I like what you're saying, Coke Machine, but where are we? Like, we're here, but where is here? Because right now here for me is not the fulfillment of a playoff berth. They might be the 8 seed and they might lose 2 play-in games and not be in the playoffs. And then how will you feel, Machine?
We get to play meaningful basketball in April. That's pretty cool. We haven't done that for a couple years, right? I mean, kind of yes, but kind of no. Did anybody really expect this coming into this year? They needed help. Maybe after the 12-3 start, they were on fire. They were playing great. Maybe that sort of led some people to think this team was better than it was. Then we had the long swoon, and now they're back, and we got a shot. So going into the weekend, yeah, if they're sort of one and done in a single playoff, play-in game, not a great finish, but it doesn't take away the last couple of months of really fun, entertaining basketball, which we've been missing for a couple years.
I like what you're saying, Machine, but yeah. Last year they did play meaningful basketball, and they wound up with 46 wins, and they went to the play-in game, and they lost in the play-in game, and so that was meaningful basketball. If that wasn't meaningful basketball, then this year's play-in possibility would also not be meaningful basketball. So I bristle at the idea that they didn't last year play, quote, meaningful basketball, and I'm looking at it here. You lose to Minnesota, you're 36-34, and you needed to do some things to get to where you played meaningful basketball.
Yeah.
And so last year was unfulfilling in many ways, and I don't want to get into all of the Grumpy Clay talk again, but last year was a little bit sideways, yet you did finish the year 10-2 to get into the play-in, and you played meaningful basketball.
I actually don't see it that way. I get where you're coming from, but I don't think in the end last year was meaningful basketball, and I do think this year is meaningful basketball, even if they end up in the play-in tournament, and here's why. At no point last year did I watch them play basketball and think they actually could contend for something special. Never felt it, not for one day. This year I do. This year I do. Now, it doesn't mean I'm right, but I'm gonna take their cues. They're the ones who are saying meaningful basketball. That's their phrase. And I do think that Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, I think that they know a title contender when they see it. And I don't think that they felt that they were one last year. And I do think that they feel that they are one this year. I don't think that they did prior to Jimmy Butler, but they do now. That's what Draymond said. Steph Curry is the one who has pointed to meaningful basketball. I think the last meaningful, like really meaningful game prior to this year, I think it was their series in L.A. I think the series in Sacramento, the series in L.A. two seasons ago, was the last time that the Warriors were actually on any level kind of putting fear into the rest of the conference. And they ran out of gas, and they didn't have enough in the tank that year anyway. But last year, I don't know, man. Last year never had that feel. So the math and the facts are on your side, but I'm talking more about the emotional feeling of watching Warrior basketball, and last year never felt like this last 2 months has.
Well, this last 2 months has felt differently because of the addition of Jimmy Butler. And if you want to look at the record of that team, last year they were 25-25. This year's team was 25-25 after they lost to Utah the night of the trade deadline. And since then, they've gone on to a 22-8 record, and I know that includes the game in LA that Jimmy didn't play, but since 25-25, that's what happened. And last year's team, they were 25-25, and they wound up with 46 wins. So they won 21 of their last 32. Mm-hmm. They went 21-11, including a 10-2 finish. So I can't totally put myself back in my feelings a year ago today when they were steaming toward a possible play-in, but I know that I was excited based on the way they were finishing up the year.
Yeah, I don't remember any signature victories down the stretch. I remember them taking advantage of a really easy schedule over the last 2 weeks against a bunch of teams that were tanking and not trying and all of that. There was nothing like what I saw them do last week. They also didn't have the thump, the star power. There was no vision. There was no vision as to, like, even if you come out of this play-in situation, what are you going to do then? Like, do I actually believe that you've got a shot against some of these other teams? My thought was no. I look at it now, I feel different. So it's just an opinion. Again, I know that we can do the numbers or numbers or numbers or numbers,
sure,
but every year is different. And so 46 wins 1 year does not equal 48 wins the next year or whatever. I never felt it. I never felt it. At no point did I look at last year and think this team really might do something special. This year I look at it, and I wouldn't predict it, but I tell you what, like, I feel like there's a chance. I feel like there's a real chance. Mr. Anderson in Oakland here on Willard and Dibbs.
Mr. Anderson.
Hello, Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Dibley, Mr. Willard, this is Mr. Anderson, your old Skyline High School friend. How we doing, dude?
We're great, Mr. Anderson. You know that a couple of your former students, one's a Cal grad and the other one is about to be a UCSB grad in about 8 weeks.
I pay attention. I can't wait to work for them someday.
That's coming up because they are they're both high risers. They're climbers.
I love that. I love that. We taught them well at that school. Hey, fellas, I just got a quick question for you all in terms of individually your own preference. Let's say we make it through the play-in, whatever. Let's say we get the sixth seed, whatever. Who are you most confident in seeing in the first round for the Warriors? And who's someone that you would like to avoid seeing? Like, for me, I'm not worried about Houston. And this sounds crazy, but I'm not worried about OKC. I don't love the idea of going to the Lakers, though.
Well, Mr. Anderson, thanks. Always great to hear from you. I have kind of a different vibe on that. First of all, I'm trying to block out the idea of playing Oklahoma City because that means things went woefully wrong the next week.
Yep.
Okay, that means you played next Friday night in a terrifying basketball game.
No doubt.
And you're exhausted. You got no time off. So I'm going to X that out. Yes, I'm scared of that, but not because of the matchup. I'm scared of that because of the circumstances surrounding that arrival. But outside of that, I tell you what, I'm going to leave Denver out of this conversation in Houston too. Like, Houston doesn't scare me much, but again, I don't want to be in the play-in tournament, and Houston means you're in the play-in tournament. So I'm going to focus on these other three teams. I don't want to face the Clippers. I don't want to face the Clippers in the playoffs. And I think there are scenarios that lead to that. Them being the four and the Warriors being the five.
Like, yeah.
It's a possibility.
It's a long shot, but yeah.
Yes, it's a long shot. Things would have to go pretty wonky for Denver. But I don't want to face the Los Angeles Clippers. I would rather face the Los Angeles Lakers. And the worry for the Lakers, and you've heard it from both of the broadcasters, both Tim Roy and Bob Fitzgerald, Tim Roy today and Bob Fitzgerald a number of weeks ago, said the concern with the Lakers has nothing to do with LeBron and Luka and their greatness. It has to do with the whistle. And that's
fair.
That's what I don't want to see with regard to the Lakers. But as far as the matchups and the Warriors' ability to play against that team, I actually like their chances.
Yeah, I don't think that you can have the Clippers finish four and the Warriors finish five.
Why not?
If Denver, so the Clippers would have to win two. Right now, Denver holds the tiebreaker over the Clippers. So Denver loses two, and then the Warriors would have to split. And if the Warriors split, well, Denver's ahead of the Warriors.
No, why can't the Warriors win two and the Clippers win one and the Nuggets lose twice?
The Clippers would have to win one. The Warriors win two. The Clippers would be four. The Nuggets lose two. And then...
Right. And the Warriors.
I guess the Warriors would be the five then.
Yeah, I think it is possible.
Okay.
The Nuggets would have to lose two games, which I don't think they're going to do.
Right. And I guess they could wind up but all the way down at eight.
In theory, the Nuggets do have two good teams on their schedule. I don't like one of them is Memphis, and they just played a banger last night.
Banger.
And the other one is Houston, who threatens to sit all of their people.
Well, they have been sitting all their people.
They have, because they've already locked up the two seed. It's over. They have nothing to play for. But I don't know what they're going to do on Sunday, and they are allowed to win. Check that out, too. I looked at the rule book. They're allowed to win. So if Denver loses two, the Clippers win one, and the Warriors win two, then yes, the Clippers would be the four and the Warriors would be the five. And I don't want that.
Yeah. Well, I look at all the scenarios.
I don't want that at all.
I look at the entire road. If they're going to, quote, go on a run, you're going to beat three teams in the West who are good, and then you'll likely play a very good team out of the East. So if you're going to have four series, the way it all lays out, I don't think that there is a soft road. Like, if you want to go back to 2022, when the Warriors won the title, people want to look at Phoenix getting knocked off, and you got Dallas instead of Phoenix in the conference finals, and that was a break. Okay, fine, but it's not the same gauntlet that this looks like it's going to be. And I was looking at OKC, Mark, and I've thrown out a lot of numbers about their point differential. They have 66 wins, and if they win one more game, they will be the 14th team to ever win 67 or more in the regular season. And of those 14, I'm looking at the list right now, you have 9 of them that have gone on to win the title.
I know 2 of them who didn't, and it was the Suns you just referenced and obviously the 73-win Warriors.
Those Suns did not win 67.
They didn't?
No.
Okay, did they win 66?
They won, I thought it was 65, and I'm looking at it here, they won 64 year.
I thought they won more than that.
The Warriors won 73, of course. Boston in 1973 won 68. They lost to, the Knicks in the Eastern Finals. Okay. The Mavericks famously lost in that 1-8 when Avery Johnson got too cute and Don Nelson, Nelly Ball, we believe.
Yep.
The Spurs won 67 the same year that the Warriors won 73. We forget that.
Oh, God.
That they were the 2 seed with 67 wins. And they obviously didn't win the title because, well, neither did the Warriors in 2016.
Right.
But there are your teams who have never done it. 4 teams have done it. Oklahoma City's 1 win away from joining that group. So normally when you win 67, you win the title.
Normally, but without looking at any of the way that all went down, I think Oklahoma City is going to have a harder road than a 1 seed normally does because there are so many quality basketball teams in this Western Conference. And if I'm Oklahoma City, I'm praying like hell that Memphis or Sacramento or Dallas is my first round opponent. If I get that, I feel like maybe I've got a little bit of an usher into the second round. But outside of that, dude, you got problems right away. You have problems right away if you're Oklahoma City and you've got to do either Minnesota or Golden State or hell, it could be the Clippers or the Nuggets depending on the way things play out this week. And that for a 1 seed is an unbelievably hard opponent to start with. And then obviously you've got 2 more Western Conference series that would, by rule, be coming against teams that are playing well because it means they've advanced.
Right, and teams that are also very good. And going back to that year when the Warriors won 73 and the Spurs won 67, you had seeds 5-8 that won 44, 42, 42, and 41. So those were 500 clubs at the bottom half of that bracket. And this year you're looking at an 8 seed who might have 49 wins if the... You know, if you get Memphis and Minnesota,
absolutely,
if they win out and they handle their business in the play-in, they're going to be 49-win teams going up against OKC and Houston. I mean, that's unheard of. But
no, I'm looking at this right now, and I don't know if this is true, but I think it's mathematically possible that 6 teams end up with the exact same record of 49-33. I think that's on the table as mathematically possible for everybody.
Lakers split.
The Lakers would have
lose
to lose.
Both.
Lose both.
Nuggets and Clippers split. Warriors, Grizz, and Minnesota win both.
Yeah.
49-33.
All of them.
3-8. I mean.
What's the 6th? I don't even. By the way, that would be super
Grandy
fun.
Sure knows.
No, I bet
the
he doesn't.
Tiebreaker.
The 6-way tie. Tiebreaker. Who gets the 3-4, the 4-5-6? And who gets the 7-8?
Grandy just walked out the room. I can now finally say this. He spent the entire show, like before the show, for the 3 hours leading up to the show, figuring this out. I'm still not sure he knows if that's what
that no, I don't
is.
Think, no, no. And somebody just texted us and said, Kawakami says there is a way the Warriors can go 2-0 and still get the 7. A, not true. And B, I doubt Kawakami said that, but I'd have to look. No, the Warriors control their own destiny. If they win 2 games, they are no worse than the 6. This I know.
Yep.
They cannot be the 7. They cannot be the 7. If they win both of their games, they are locked in. That's what the loss for Memphis meant last night for the Warriors and Minnesota's previous loss to Milwaukee. And if the Warriors win tonight and Memphis loses at Denver, they cannot be the 8. That takes 8 out of play. Then the worst thing that could happen would be 7. Based on everything that unfolds at 12:30 on Sunday afternoon.
Man.
It's fun.
It's super fun.
It's fun.
And I was just looking at the 6-team tiebreaker, and one of them is if you're a division winner. And it made me think.
No way.
There's divisions, right?
I don't even know what they are.
Exactly.
I know the Lakers and Clippers and Warriors are in the same division, right?
Along with Sacramento and Phoenix.
Right,
and then,
but they would, which means, though, but those 3 teams would all be in the bucket.
Right. So none of they'd have to share the divisional title.
Right, but that wouldn't go for the well, no, the division title would probably go to the Lakers. I think they've got the tiebreaker on those teams.
Our tiebreaker expert is back if you want to ask him any of these questions.
If all six teams end up 49-33, who goes to the playoffs?
You're throwing the Lakers in there?
Yes. Yeah. If all of them end up 49-33, who gets the 3, 4, 5, 6 seeds?
You better have this answer.
And who ends, and who ends up in the play-in?
I ran all my scenarios, not including the Lakers, because they're not going to end up tied. But in all likelihood.
They could. They're allowed to lose.
Yep.
You're right. They are allowed to lose.
What were those 3 hours for before
it
the show?
It was not 3 hours.
Well, even if it was two. It's not going to happen.
I know the five-team tiebreaker, if it doesn't include the Lakers, it just includes Minnesota, Clippers, Warriors, Denver, Memphis. Minnesota wins it.
And are the Warriors in the playoffs?
Yes, because that would be seeds 4 through 8 that would be tied. The Warriors would finish third in the tiebreaker. They'd finish sixth overall.
Who would be in the play-in?
Denver and Memphis.
Oh, good stuff, Greg. You got it, babe.
Denver gets screwed.
If Denver ends up in the play-in, I'm going to be like, I don't even know what the hell just happened here.
Denver gets screwed in any tiebreaker scenario that includes Minnesota because Minnesota is 4-0 versus
they
Denver this year.
They own their butts. That's why. Thanks, Westbrook.
So the inclusion of those teams in a tiebreaker helps out the Warriors because you probably aren't going to win it, but you're not going to lose it, and you're probably going to be the sixth.
Dude, if that happens, Mike Malone will have a beer and a laugh that lasts an hour and a half. Oh, my God.
I'm just picturing right now a play-in game where Denver and Sacramento are playing for the 8 seed, and it's Michael Malone and Mike Brown in a shadowy bar somewhere in Topeka, and they are half in the bag and just laughing, eating peanuts and throwing shells on the floor.
Also, Russell Westbrook can go back to Oklahoma City. Freaking cupcake. Oh, my God. I love it. I love it.
The two Mikes, Malone and Brown, dark bar, watching Sacramento and Denver in a slap fight for the 8 seed to see who gets to go get rolled by OKC.
Yeah, there's your new podcast. They could call it Mike and Mike. No one's ever done that in radio before.
Nope. Maybe. Check that for copyright
infringement. Mike and Mike in Cancun.
We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Got some final thoughts. If you want to say anything wackadoodle about the Warriors, you can do it too. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Thank you, baby.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, thank you, baby. Yeah, here we go. Guess what? Two things I want to tell you.
Okay.
I mean, probably more than that, too, but...
It always is.
Two things I'm going to start with. First of all, our conversation with Steve Kerr yesterday was definitely grabbed by... Slates.
Yeah.
And he initiated it with Steve Kerr continuing the conversation in Portland tonight for pregame media availability. In other words, Slater said, can you please talk more about what you mentioned yesterday with regard to JK, Draymond, and Jimmy being a difficult matchup for you or a difficult group to play together? So he spoke about that at length and did not change anything that he had to say. I was very glad about that. I didn't want to come out and be like, oh, it was misquoted or it got taken out of line or whatever. No, he's just like, I want to acknowledge the difficulty that we're having with that. He's like, I think Kuminga's handling it very, very well. I think he's playing hard when he's out there. But Draymond's our four and Draymond is our often our five. And Jimmy is our four or our three alongside, you know, Moody. And, yeah, that's the deal. And, like, they play a lot. And it doesn't work when I play Jonathan with them. And so there's a more intricate answer that he's given. It's on Anthony's Twitter if you want to go take a look at it. pretty interesting that that's where everybody picked up right where he left off yesterday with us.
And I do think that it becomes a thing as you get deeper in the playoffs. And I know that GP2 is available tonight. And we kind of had this going on our show thread before. And I made the statement on our thread that I do think that GP2 is more important than Jonathan Kuminga right now for this team and what they need. So if we all want to spend all of our time talking about Jonathan Kuminga, we can. But honestly, for me, he feels like the eighth man on this team. And if you have a nine-man rotation, he's in it. He's not a starter. I do think that GP2 has a more defined role off the bench, as does Buddy Hield, as does Kevon Looney. It doesn't mean that any of them are better, quote-unquote, than JK. But what Jonathan Kuminga provides off the bench is not always what they need off the bench.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to argue what you're saying. Like, if you say he's their eighth man, I think the argument for a lot of people is that he shouldn't be their eighth man, and that's kind of where the whole thing gets a little wonky. But yeah, you're not wrong. Look, the bottom line is, if you're a Warrior fan and you want this to go well, this is what they're doing. So you can quibble with it. I think they've got a lot of data in their favor. They've got a lot of results in their favor, and this is what they're doing. And so you can be mad about it if you want. You can sit back, relax, watch Warrior basketball, root for them. They've played really, really well as of late. I'm thrilled that they sit here in this position today, considering where they were in November and December and January and February. And so that's kind of where I choose to focus my thoughts right now. Now, also this courtesy of Slater. I didn't know this. The Warriors could clinch a playoff spot tonight. It is mathematically possible. I didn't say likely, but it is mathematically possible. So here's what you're really rooting for if you want to just get loose on a Friday night, have 12 cocktails, and root for something that's probably not going to happen. But here's what you need. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Warriors need to beat Portland.
Okay.
Obviously, we knew that. Then the Grizzlies need to lose in Denver. Also probable.
Yep. Yep.
And then Minnesota needs to lose at home to the Brooklyn Nets.
Right. Right.
That's where things get tricky. But
that's all you need.
That's it.
Three things.
If that happens, you clinch the playoffs, and Sunday against the Clippers becomes a hell of a lot less stressful.
Right, because you would be a full game ahead of both of those teams, and you hold the tiebreaker over both of those teams. So you couldn't possibly fall to 7 or 8, which is exciting. I wonder if he laid out a scenario where they could get up to 4, because I know they can't catch and pass the Lakers at 3, but is there a way? I'm sure they can't do it tonight, but we kind of laid it out before where...
Yeah, they can get to 4.
You'd have to have the Clippers lose 2.
Right.
And Denver would have to lose 2, and you win both, and then you're the 4.
Yep.
Because you don't hold the tiebreaker over Denver or the Clippers, nor will you.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's possible.
It's possible. Not likely. That Denver-Memphis game, depending on which way that one goes. But I do think, you know, look, the idea is to grab a playoff spot, and the quickest way to do that is to have Denver beat Memphis tonight, as opposed to hoping that you move up. But that is it's a silver lining if Memphis were to win in Denver tonight. There's a silver lining to it right there, which is that it opens up the door for you actually crossing Denver if you can handle your own business. I don't know, man. I told you I got tickets to that game on Sunday, and I'm not sure what I'm rooting for, like. I think I want the game to be compelling.
Yeah, you want it to matter.
I want it to matter. As long as they can promise me that they'll win it.
Right, right. You don't want it to matter and have them lose and fall to 7.
Ah!
Yeah.
I tell you what, though. Yeah, tonight I expect the Warriors to go to bed with no worse than 7. And that's good. That's a comforting feeling. Yeah. And by the way, if they do end up playing on Tuesday in that play-in tournament as the 7 and the 8 is Memphis, I actually find that to be a pretty comfortable spot too.
Yeah, just I don't know about that.
I know. I think Memphis stinks.
Well,
I think that they have lost their way. And in big games, watch what they do. They crumble in the second half, just like they did last night on their home floor. Warriors did it to them too last week. I just don't think they're very strong right now. Doesn't mean they can't have a great night. I don't want the play-in tournament, but if the Warriors do end up in the play-in tournament, that's the matchup I want. I want the Memphis Grizzlies here on Tuesday night.
As opposed to Minnesota.
Yes.
I wouldn't say that they stink. They can be an unbelievably explosive team, and matchup-wise, I don't like the matchup with Golden State because Jaren Jackson Jr. is a tough cover, and Ja Morant, for all of his impetuousness and his immaturity and his, you know, rotating artillery-based celebrations, the dude is a bucket getter.
He can get he can go off. He can go off. He's a great NBA player. He's a great NBA player. So I think
they're a dangerous team.
Well, they're a dangerous team from the standpoint that it's an NBA game, and yes, the other team
they can
win
score 50 and a quarter. They can give up 50 and a quarter in the same game.
Yep.
And oftentimes they do.
If you end up playing Tuesday, that's who I want here.
Agreed. I mean, if you have to play Tuesday, I'd rather face Memphis than Minnesota, but you and I are of like mind in that. Just avoid Tuesday. Win tonight, and then get into Sunday and figure out if you need it. Then if you need it, go out there and get it.
Engagement is everything on the court and in life. A lot of you voted in our engaging Dub Nation poll on the 95.7 The Game Twitter page. It happens before every game. Obviously, we got a game tonight. It's presented by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. The question we asked earlier today, if you go back to right after the Warriors beat the Lakers and the Nuggets on back-to-back nights, they'd won five in a row. They were rolling. A lot of us are like, we're going to be championship. So what did you think the Warriors were capable of doing then? And then how do you feel now after losing two of the last three? Has your confidence wavered at all? So the engaging Dub Nation poll results are fully in. And the answer, no, wins narrowly. 53.7% of the vote said no. Confidence has not wavered. 46.3%, yes. Confidence wavered off of Wednesday night.
And I was a yes vote, and I'm a little surprised that the yeses had as much of the share of the pie as they did. I thought more fans would be of your mind, which is to say, no, confidence not wavered.
Yeah, I'm still there. So anyway, but that's the vote, and thanks everybody for hopping in and doing it. All right, man, here we go. We're going into this is a big old weekend. I think the Warriors are going to look awesome tonight. That's just what my gut is telling me. And then Sunday is going to be one hell of an experience.
Have fun on Sunday. That should be a good one to be at,
it's
no doubt.
Be good. And have fun with Grandy, okay, everybody? Because he's doing Warriors Live tonight. He's doing live, Warriors Live. That's after hours of permutations to figure out exactly what all of the possibilities are. So stay tuned for Grandy with Warriors Live. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Passover.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You get to read before you eat.
That's right.
And then
a bunch of the Varukatas and all the rest of it.
Okay.
Some El Adonais in there.
I think it's Baruch.
Whatever Baruch-a-ta. It is. Baruch is on Baruch. Fire, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'll get it by tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And no, Sunday I'm busy. It's all the Masters.
What is going on here?
Do you want to do it on Monday?
I do.
All right, fine. We'll do it on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend.
What is going on here?
For Dibs, for Grandy, for
Lucas.
What
is going on here?
And for Bob. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.